80s. Tonight, a 20% chance of showers and thunderstorms, mostly cloudy, the low in the mid-70s. And for tomorrow, a 30% chance of showers and thunderstorms, mostly sunny, high in the lower 90s. Right now, it's 79 degrees in Nashville at 11 o'clock.
From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Carl Castle.
And I'm Peter Sagal. For anyone listening to this down in your default shelter, you can come up now. The country has been saved. But looking around at the details of the deal, maybe it wouldn't have been so bad just to let our country go bankrupt, wait a little while, then start a new country with a different name. When China comes looking to get its money back, we'll be like America. Haven't seen those guys for years. We'll ask why we're looking for a way out, plus Carl Castle bristles at his new NPR contract.
This deal is a sugar-coated Satan sandwich.
We'll find out what's really got him so grumpy in just about 6 minutes, right after our newscast.
From NPR News in Washington, I'm Louise Schiavone. 2 days after a credit rating downgrade to the U.S. government, the Governing Council of the European Central Bank is holding an emergency conference call. With markets jittery, the finance officials plan to reevaluate an earlier decision not to buy Italian bonds. As Terry Schultz reports from Brussels, that move has added to the turmoil facing the economies that share a common currency.
World leaders and finance experts are conferring by phone on what last-minute actions might improve opening numbers on global markets Monday morning. The European Central Bank's crisis call is expected to re-examine the possibility of buying Italian government bonds after new economic reforms were announced by Rome Friday. The bank's board could not agree on that action earlier in the week, and President Jean-Claude Trichet is said to be insisting the matter be resolved now. Italy is the third largest economy in the Eurozone and holds the most debt after Greece. A positive decision would mean the ECB and other central banks start buying Italian bonds when the markets open in the morning, providing some debt relief. There's no guarantee investors would follow the move. For NPR News, I'm Terry Schultz in Brussels.
On NBC's Meet the Press, former Federal Reserve Chairman Alan Greenspan said the downgrade by Standard & Poor's dealt an emotional blow.
What I think the S&P thing did was to hit a nerve that there's something basically bad going on. And it's hit the self-esteem of the United States, the psyche.
On Fox News Sunday, Bill Miller of Legg Mason Capital Management agreed.
I don't expect we'll pay more for interest rates. The downgrade was not an economic event. It was a symbolic and psychological event.
In Israel, the escalating cost of living drew citizens to the streets last night in the largest protests in that country's history. More from Shira Frankel.
Police estimate that more than 300,000 people took part in demonstrations across the country. Protesters want the government to intervene to lower the cost of living in Israel. The heart of the protest is the cost of housing, which has risen 60% in the last 4 years. Israelis carried placards calling for a new deal and demanding a welfare state. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu promised that the government would take swift action. The administration announced the formation of a special committee to address the demonstrators' demands. But protest leaders say they want immediate change. For NPR News, I'm Shira Frankel in Tel Aviv.
From Massachusetts to Washington, D.C., tens of thousands of Verizon workers are on strike over a new labor contract. The company says negotiations with the Communications Workers of America in Philadelphia and New York have dissolved. The expired contract covered 45,000 workers, including 10,000 represented by the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers. This is NPR News. There are reports out of Syria of continued government violence against protesters. The AP is quoting two Syrian rights groups as saying that in confrontations today, more than 50 people have been killed on the streets. The uprising has been ongoing for 5 months. More than 2 months after an attack on his palace compound, the president of Yemen has left a hospital in Saudi Arabia. Reportedly, Ali Abdullah Saleh was severely injured in that attack. He was treated for burns, and the AP reports he's now been moved to a residence belonging to the Saudi royal family to further recuperate. A powerful typhoon brushed by Shanghai, avoiding a direct hit on China's largest city. NPR's Anthony Kuhn reports from Jakarta that the storm caused the evacuation of more than 600,000 coastal residents.
Typhoon Mui Fa brought winds and rain that shut down bridges, canceled nearly 200 flights, and caused some power outages in Shanghai. Mui Fa, which is Cantonese for plum flower, has been downgraded from a super typhoon and continues to weaken as it heads north up China's eastern seaboard. Next in its path is Shandong Province in the port city of Qingdao, known for its beer makers. Authorities there are laying sandbags and calling some 20,000 fishing boats back to harbor. Mui Fa is expected to make landfall in Shandong later today, then travel towards the northeastern province of Liaoning. Anthony Kuhn, NPR News, Jakarta.
Forecasters indicate that former tropical storm Emily, now a depression, is moving away from the U.S. East Coast and out to sea. I'm Louise Schiavone, NPR News, Washington.
Support for NPR comes from Reputation.com. With tools to monitor and protect the online reputations of doctors, lawyers, and business professionals. Learn more at Reputation.com.
From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Carl Kassel, and here's your host at the Chase Bank Auditorium in downtown Chicago, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Carl. Thanks, everybody. I feel the same way. We got a great show for you today. We got actor and seemingly actual nice guy, Jason Bateman. He'll be joining us later to play Not My Job. But first, you may have heard it was President Obama's 50th birthday this week. His wife and kids wanted to give him a tie. He insisted absolutely on a new iPod. After a month-long series of intense meetings with his daughter, Sasha Malia, he got a tie. He's happy with it, though. We insist on you guys giving us a call. The number is 1-888. Wait, wait. That's 1-888-924-8924. It's time to welcome our first listener contestant. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, this is Pablo from Austin, Texas.
Hey, how are things in Austin, one of my favorite cities?
Great, aside from the heat.
Yeah, the heat and the drought. How are the bats, though?
The bats are actually entertaining the people during the day now, since they're having to come out to get the food while the sun's still out.
Really?
Yeah.
The bats are like no longer nocturnal. It's gotten that bad.
Not in Austin.
Maybe, you know, they've gotten middle age. They just can't stay up that late anymore. I know what it's like. Pablo, let me introduce you to our panel this week. First, say hello to a writer for the Boston Globe magazine and the author of the book Idiot America. Mr. Charlie Pierce is here.
How you doing, Charlie?
Hey, Pablo.
Next, it's a television personality and a contributor to CBS Sunday Morning, Mr. Mo Rocca.
Hey, Mo.
Hi, Pablo.
And lastly, it's the woman behind the advice column Ask Amy and the author of the memoir The Mighty Queens of Freeville, Ms. Amy Dickinson is here. Pablo, so glad to have you. You're going to start us off, of course, with Who's Carl This Time. Your job, identify or explain two out of three quotations that Carl is going to read for you from the week's news.
Sure.
Do that. You'll win Carl's voice in your home voicemail. Ready to go?
Great.
Here we go. Here is your first quote.
This deal is a sugar-coated Satan sandwich.
That was Democratic Congressman Emmanuel Cleaver talking about what?
About the debt limit. Bill that just got signed.
Yes, the debt ceiling deal. Very good. That's what it was. After months of tension and fear, at the very last minute, the American government was able to talk itself out of destroying the American economy. Now, it's a pretty complicated deal, so Carl is going to help me explain how it's all going to work. Ready, Carl?
Let's do this.
All right. First, there are some immediate cuts and the debt ceiling gets raised. Whew. Then a commission gets together to come up with new cuts. If the cuts package gets passed,
yay!
Then all is good. If not,
boo!
Bad things then happen to both parties. Republicans lose Chuck Norris and Sean Hannity. Taken away. Democrats lose Barbara Streisand and the next season of Mad Men.
Now, to be fair, I like, you know, Hostess of Sugar-Coated Satans when I was there.
No, they're great.
They're the lovely cream filling.
Wasn't there an alternative? Couldn't they, instead of raising the debt ceiling, couldn't they have just created a debt-sunken living room?
Yeah,
exactly. That way?
It's very sophisticated living. By the way,
I love sunken living rooms.
This special commission that's being created.
Super Congress.
People are calling it Super Congress. And you thought Congress was bad, meet Super Congress. It's like Congress after it was bit by a radioactive leech and acquired all of its powers.
And this deal will save just enough money to pay probably for the commission, which
exactly.
will decide how more money will be saved.
Let me see if I get the logic behind this. The problem with this whole thing has been there's too much partisan gridlock in Washington. So what we're going to do is distill it down
yes.
to the real stars of partisan gridlock, and that's going to get something done.
Right. If you get
excellent. Then Harry Reid's spidey sense will tingle, and you'll never know.
He keeps getting paler. Harry Reid.
Well,
it's like
know.
John Boehner took all his melanin. I mean, it's true, because they'd be the perfect shade if they just combined.
Now, throughout the whole debt ceiling debate, the American public became really frustrated with the seeming inability of our two political parties to agree on anything. So we're going to try to bring them together and maybe, just maybe, heal a nation. Joining us now, Republican Congressman Jeff Flake of Arizona. Hello, Congressman.
Hello. Nice to have you on.
Oh, okay. Pleasure to have you. Also joining us, here is the chair of the Democratic National Committee, Congresswoman Debbie Wasserman Schultz of Florida. Wow. Congresswoman Wasserman Schultz, hello.
Hello, how are you?
Oh, well, we're fine. It's really good to talk to you both today, and we're glad that you could join us in a first step towards sort of bringing people together. So this is what we're going to do. We're going to try to find some common ground somewhere. Congressman Flake, what is your favorite movie?
Oh, that's an easy one, and she probably has the same one. What about Bob?
What about Bob? So, Congressman Wasserman Schultz, what is your favorite movie?
Well, you can just feel the common ground. My favorite movie is My Fair Lady.
My Fair Lady.
Oh, boy.
All right.
Oh.
Let's move on. We'll start with you, Representative Wasserman Schultz. This time, what is your favorite band?
Well, it's more like my favorite singer would be James Taylor.
James Taylor. I'm just going to say, and I like James Taylor too, but as a Democrat, that's fairly predictable. All right?
Well, my alternative would be Jimmy Buffett.
Jimmy Buffett. Okay.
Stay right, with James
on.
Taylor.
All right. Okay. All right. We've got a James Taylor on the table. Congressman Flake, your favorite musical act?
Well, I guess I'm supposed to say Toby Keith, but that's just not it.
I understand if you don't, you'll be primaried, but it's really up to you.
Oh, it's got to be Earth, Wind, and Fire.
Whoa! Earth, Wind, and Fire?
Yeah!
I'm dating myself there.
Sorry. I'm about to say. Okay, this isn't working quite as well as we hoped. We got one more question. Congressman Flake, when
yes.
the Olympics are going on, what country do you root for?
Now, if I say the wrong thing here, I'm sure to be primaried.
Right.
It's the red, white, and blue. USA.
There you are. Oh, okay. It's a choice. It's a bold choice. Wasserman Schultz.
The United States of America.
There we go. Agreement. We've done it. Congressman Flake of Arizona, Congresswoman Wasserman Schultz of Florida, thank you so much for being with us and for healing this nation.
Thanks, Alan.
Bye-bye. Pablo, you still there?
I'm still here.
All right. All right. Pablo, here is your next quote.
Here's your birthday present. Your poll numbers are lower than your age.
That was a headline on the right-wing dog blog celebrating, ironically, whose lowest ever approval rating?
Barack Obama.
Yes, President Obama, that's right. The president's approval rating sank to 43% this week, his lowest ever. His advisors were so desperate to boost it back up in preparation for next year that Chief of Staff Bill Daley was seen performing CPR on the waterlogged corpse of Osama bin Laden so that Obama could kill him again.
Oh, come on!
Hey, whatever works. Congress, though, I don't know if you follow this, Congress has it even worse. A record 82% of Americans now disapprove of Congress. 82%, lowest ever. Their approval, they're all here. An approval rating, their approval rating of Congress is 14%, a historical low. That means 1.5 people out of 10, only 1.5 people out of 10 actually approve of Congress. Of course, one of those people is just a pelvis and a pair of legs. How much attention can he be paying?
My God, this looks like a job for Super Congress.
I just, what are they putting in the tea?
Very good, Pablo. Pablo, here's your last quote.
Miss, you'd better look at that note. I have a bomb.
That was what somebody said to a flight attendant on a fateful day back in 1971. The FBI says they might finally have tracked down the folk hero known by what name?
D.B. Cooper.
D.B. Cooper, you're a fan, I can tell. Woo-hoo. This week, the FBI confirmed that an Oklahoma woman has come forward to say that her late uncle might well have been the infamous hijacker D.B. Cooper. He's the guy who parachuted out of a plane over Oregon in 1971 with $200,000 in ransom money, was never caught. Now, you might ask, why is the FBI so interested in this 40-year-old case? Because the administration looked at the possibilities being put forward for solving our financial crisis, and after an intensive staff work, they decided the most practical solution was trying to find D.B. Cooper's stolen money. Carl, how did Pablo do in our quiz?
Pablo did very well, Peter. Pablo, you had 3 correct answers, so I'll be doing the message on your voicemail.
Well done, Pablo. Congratulations. Thanks for playing. Right now, panel, time for you to answer some questions about this week's news. Amy, Cosmopolitan magazine has been helping women feel ugly and inadequate for years. But now, as it expands from print to digital media, Cosmo is looking to expand its audience to include whom?
Ooh, men?
Yes, men! This is good news for men. You no longer have to stand in long checkout lines at the supermarket to have some quality time with a copy of Cosmo. Now there's a Cosmo for Men app. It's a, online magazine. It has features such as hottest thing you can say to a naked woman, which frankly is pointless. She's already naked.
I knew you got her naked. You must have done something right.
Exactly. I think the only thing men say to naked women is, Coming up, haven't you always dreamed of visiting Lithuania? Now's your chance in our Bluff the Listener game. Call 1-888-WAIT-WAIT to play. Support for NPR comes from NPR stations and eSurance, offering tools to help customers track car repairs online or with a smartphone. eSurance car insurance at eSurance.com. The National Association of Realtors, providing resources for homeownership at houselogic.com. And Discovery Channel, presenting Curiosity, a new series that begins with asking, did God create the universe? Tomorrow at 8 on Discovery. We'll be back in a minute with more of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me from NPR.
Think of Italy without the tomato. Unimaginable. But the tomato originated in South America. When Columbus crossed the Atlantic, the exchange of not only food, but animals, insects, and viruses among the continents transformed the world. On the next Fresh Air, we talk with Charles C. Mann, author of 1493, Uncovering the New World Columbus Created. Join us.
Weekdays at 11 a.m. and 7 p.m.
I'm Robin Young. Join us next time for the news and these stories here and now. Drought in Texas could continue into 2012. Somalis are dying from drought. We'll look at a world with less water. Also, while their parents are in Afghanistan or Iraq, thousands of children attend schools in desperate need of repair. That's Public Radio's Daily Digest of news and culture here and now.
Weekdays at noon.
You're listening to Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me on 90.3 WPLN Nashville Public Radio. You can stay connected to Nashville Public Radio through our weekly email newsletters and on Facebook and Twitter. Find out more at nashvillepublicradio.org. It's 20 minutes after 11, 79 degrees in Nashville.
From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Carl Castle. We're playing this week with Charlie Pierce, Mo Rocca, and Amy Dickinson. And here again is your host at the Chase Bank Auditorium in downtown Chicago, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Carl. Thank you, everybody. Right now, it's time for the Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me Bluff the Listener game. Call 1-888-WAIT-WAIT to play our game in the air. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hey, this is Justin Height, and I'm from Gray, Tennessee.
Hey, how are things in Gray, Tennessee?
Oh, absolutely wonderful.
not slightly gray.
Not slightly gray.
Really? Was that an ironic laugh or a joyful laugh just there?
More ironic. Than
more ironic, I see. what do you do there in beautiful gray?
Right. I do window cleaning and interior painting.
Oh, really? So you're like the guy who's out there hanging on the high buildings cleaning the windows?
Absolutely.
We've always seen in the movies, or it happens in real life, that you're standing there in an office doing whatever, and then somebody just appears outside the window cleaning it. Have you ever seen anything in an office or anything else that was surprising or shocking or fun?
Oh, absolutely. Like, we do a hospital here, and I one time came down a little too hard and hit the window frame, and the nurse was like, "You just gave three patients a heart attack."
Oh. That's fun.
That's hilarious.
Have you ever made out with somebody through the glass?
You mean
smushing your lips up?
Yeah.
Right? That's gross.
Justin, it's great to have you with us. You're going to play the game in which you must tell truth from fiction. Carl, what is Justin's topic?
I'm convinced. Book me on a one-way ticket to Vilnius.
The country of Lithuania is known for all sorts of things, being part of the former Soviet bloc. That's about it. Which is a problem the Lithuanians want to solve. This week we read about a national effort to attract people to its majestic Baltic shores. Our panelists are going to read you three stories about Lithuania's efforts to make a name for itself. Guess the true story, you'll win Carl's voice in your voicemail. Ready to play?
Absolutely.
First, let's hear from Amy Dickinson.
Lithuania is a former Soviet satellite. Lithuania has the highest murder rate in the European Union. And yet, tourism in Lithuania is down. And so three Lithuanian buddies came up with a novel way to sell their home country. Air fresheners. Not only those pine tree-shaped things you see dangling from rearview mirrors, but scented candles and perfume, all infused with the unforgettable smell of Lithuania. The organizer behind this effort claims the national perfume will do for Lithuania what leprechauns have done for Ireland, what the cuckoo clock has done for Switzerland, and what crushing debt has done for America. Put their country back on the map. The Lithuanian scent is infused with a mix of bergamot, raspberry, and grapefruit with base notes of amber, tree moss, and patchouli. Scents that were rejected include sausage, cigars, and the raw smell of fear.
Your next story of Lithomania comes from Charlie Pierce.
Lithuania's place in European history is roughly the same as its place on the European continent, namely on the far north side of the stuff you've actually heard of. No longer, scholars working with manuscripts from the 13th century at the University of Vilnius have now announced Lithuania's entry into one of Europe's oldest competitions. A Lithuanian, they said, discovered America. The claimant is Friar Victor of Vilnius, a Benedictine monk and sailor. The friar, it is said, plied the Baltic Sea in a leather boat. He lived on bread and goat cheese. He also weighed approximately 280 pounds. Nevertheless, the scholars say Friar Victor's journals of 1211 describe a, quote, long voyage to where the sun dies, where Victor describes the lands that sound very much like Labrador or New Brunswick. He talks of tall pines and rocks that break the seas, says Professor Vitas Marcellonis, who is heading up the project. He also describes it as the homeland to the wild people of the hills. Marcellonis concludes those to be Native Americans. Skeptics say that Friar Victor might have only discovered Scotland.
Lithuania discovered America is the claim. And lastly, let's hear a story of someone putting a new face on Lithuania from Morocco.
The Lithuanian people have had it. They're sick and tired of the outlandish lies they believe Americans tell about them. The American people must understand, says Cultural Minister Jan Mokas, that we're not just a bunch of basketball-playing, folk-dancing, potato-dumpling-eating yahoos. And to combat these scurrilous stereotypes, the government of Lithuania has completed work on Mythuania, a 1,000-acre theme park in central Missouri, dedicated to righting wrongs about the Baltic country. Visitors are greeted by giant walk-around puppets dressed as famous Lithuanians like Charles Bronson and Monica Lewinsky. Little kids can try to throw a discus, a popular native sport, through a tire and win a plush Yasha Heifetz or Immanuel Kant, both Lithuanian descendants. Rides include a cold beet soup flume ride. The most popular attraction at the park? The live show Latvia Schmatvia, a blistering song and dance takedown of neighboring Baltic Republic and bitter rival Latvia, in which Latvians are portrayed, in the words of Jan Mokas, quote, as folk dancing, potato dumpling eating yahoos.
All right. Here are your choices from Amy Dickinson, The Scent of Lithuania. From, I like that. From Charlie Pierce, a claim that a Lithuanian fat friar discovered America. Or from Morocco, the Lithuanian-themed theme park in central Missouri. Which of these is the real story of Lithuania trying to rebrand itself?
Well, you can imagine living in Gray, Tennessee, how much I know about Lithuania.
Sure.
I'm just going to take a wild guess. We'll go with Charlie's.
You're going to go with Charlie's story of the fat monk discovering America.
Hey, sounds good to me. Why not?
Sure, all right. Well, we spoke to a person who knew a lot about the true story.
When I smell this perfume, it reminds me of a hot summer day somewhere in the countryside of Lithuania.
That was Danius Rutkauskas. He's the creator of the Scent of Lithuania, the perfume product that's supposed to remind us all of the homeland we wished we had. I'm sorry, but as you no doubt know, Amy had the real answer. You didn't win, but you didn't earn a point for Charlie for his scholarly work. And we really appreciate you playing.
Sweet, thanks.
Bye-bye. And now the game where we invite on people we really like and ask them to do something dumb. It's why we have so few friends. Jason Bateman is that rarest of creatures, a former child star who seems sane and successful. He was the star of many 70s and 80s dramas and sitcoms, and of course the classic Teen Wolf 2. He's gone on to play the nice guy lead in the brilliant TV show Arrested Development. Plus, yes, good friends. Plus movies such as Hancock and Juno and the new films Horrible Bosses and The Change Up out now. Jason Bateman, welcome to Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Pat, I wish every time I picked up the phone I had applause like that.
There you are. Well, we were very curious about that, particularly because I'm old enough to basically watch you as you grew up on screens, big and small. Most child actors turn out to be completely nuts, so how have you concealed your criminal activity?
A lot of my convenience store shoplifting was done before the advent of the cell phone camera, so I was smarter about it.
I understand. Did it ever worry you looking around and seeing what was happening to your fellow child stars as they aged? Did you like, oh gosh, is that going to happen to me?
Well, you say worry, I say opportunity.
Really?
You're like, when you thin out the herd, opportunity abounds.
That's true. Do you ever, I mean, you have this odd experience of having your childhood on film. Do you ever go back and look at yourself?
Only if I want to cry in my bowl of cereal looking at hairdos and clothes.
Right. Speaking of hairdos, you ever watch Teen Wolf 2?
Oh, boy. Yeah, that was tough. We're coming up on the 25-year anniversary of that little gem. Can you believe that?
Yeah, I got an invitation to the AFI tribute.
Oh, that may have been a piece of joke mail.
I have pre-ordered the Criterion Edition DVD.
I have to interject here before we move on from the hairstyle. The best hairstyle was the Little House hairstyle, the bowl cut.
Oh, yeah, you were in Little House?
Oh.
I was on Little House, and I self-cut my own hair.
Did you really?
You have to do that.
If you're on the prairie, that's what they do.
They didn't have barbers back then.
That's true. And you're that kind of methody actor. You were also on one of my favorite TV shows, Valerie, that then became the Hogan Family.
It was one of those rare shows that actually had four names. It started as Valerie, then Valerie's Family, then Valerie Harper, I guess, had some sort of disagreement with the powers that be. They elected to remove her from the show.
They killed her off.
An episode where she burned a horrible death in a house fire, and then they called the show The Hogans, and then The Hogan Family.
Well, I never actually watched it. It was my favorite show for that reason. It was so existentially frightening.
Yeah.
Like, you could be the star of your own show, your name could be in the title, and the next day you burn in a horrible accident off screen.
Yeah, I can't wait to see what they're going to do with Charlie Sheen.
Yeah. So we were thinking about your recent career, in that starting with Arrested Development, you seem to have kind of a lock on the normal, sensible guy in the middle of the madness. Would you think that's accurate?
Well, a lock, I'm not sure, until the next one comes along, but it was definitely my job on that show to sort of react to all of the absurdity. And I really, really enjoyed doing that, because I'm a big fan of comedy, and you need that component. Otherwise, you basically have Martians on Mars, and there's nothing that interesting about that. You need to somehow make it relatable.
Right.
Change Up, actually, is a movie where I organically get to play the opposite of the character that you would normally hire me to play, which is how I start the film,
right.
The real normal guy, and then when we pee in a magic fountain, you switch lives. I mean, that's what happens.
Is that what happens when you pee in a magic fountain?
Yeah, don't do it.
Oh, okay. By the way, were we hearing your daughter in the background?
It was. I'm doing this call in her bedroom, and she just came in and gave me a look like, what the hell are you doing in my room?
Are you sitting under like a canopy bed kind of thing?
on
your stomach?
There's no canopy, but I am now wearing a hand sock puppet made out of some awful sports sock from her school. I don't know what kid she took this off of, but I don't even want to risk smelling it.
I understand. And how old is your daughter?
She'll be 5 in October.
Oh, wow. So I'm just imagining you sitting there talking to us, hugging her My Little Pony pillow. Is that
No, I'm not. Well, I'm not hugging her pillow. I'm not hugging her either. I put my boot in her ass and told her to get the hell out.
Dad is doing an interview.
Yeah.
Why do you need to use your daughter's bedroom?
Because she'd already invaded my office, because she likes to play games on my computer.
Right.
My wife is talking to anyone who will listen on her phone in the kitchen, and the TV's on in the den, and the only quiet place is Franny's little bedroom until she walked in here and started pissing me off.
What did you do with all the stuffed animals that are arranged on her bed, I'm guessing?
Oh, those stuffed animals are keeping me nice and comfortable.
Absolutely. I know, we know. We know that everybody asks you this, but you know what the fan base is like. We really have no choice. Will there ever be a Little House in the Prairie movie?
That is not where I thought you were going. That actually, I bet you, would be sneaky profitable.
Yeah. You think?
I would do that in a heartbeat. But if you're speaking of the Arrested Development movie, that seems to be moving along quite nicely.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah.
Well, Jason Bateman, we're delighted to have you. We've invited you here to play a game we're calling...
What's that, Cheetah? You sense danger?
So... You were a famous child actor, so we're going to ask you about the one thing even cuter than child actors, animal actors. There's no more famous animal actor than Cheetah, the chimpanzee who played opposite Johnny Weissmuller in all those Tarzan movies. Answer three questions about Cheetah, and you'll win our prize for one of our listeners. Carl's voice in the home answering machine. So, Carl, who is Jason Bateman playing for?
Jason is playing for Lenny Sapochnikov of Brooklyn, New York.
You ready?
I'm ready. Do I need to stretch out or anything?
Yeah, you might. Yeah, you don't want to pull anything. So if you want to take a second.
All right. Okay, I'm ready.
Okay. All right, first question. Cheetah is the holder of the Guinness World Record as the oldest chimp in captivity. He's been in retirement for many years. Doing what? A, watching TV and doing abstract paintings at his home in Palm Springs, California. B, working as Chiquita Banana's global banana-loving ambassador. Or C, just living quietly with a retired lassie.
Well, I think he is definitely out there in Palm Springs painting away and sunning and sunning and sunning because his hair's all got to be gone by now. He's got to sun that skin.
You're right, actually. I don't know about the hair, but Cheetah is, in fact, living in Palm Springs where he likes to paint, looks at National Geographic, watches TV. Second question, for his 75th birthday in 2007, it was a huge to-do, and it included what special honor? A, the state of California declared Cheetah the official state non-human primate. B, great ape expert Jane Goodall sang him happy birthday in chimpanzee language. Or C, actor Clint Eastwood sent over a cake with the words, to a better actor than me.
I've got to go with C.
You're going to go with Clint, being modest in his Clinty way. No, actually, it was B. Ms. Goodall was at the party for Cheetah and attempted to sing happy birthday with the chimpanzee hoots she had learned in Africa.
Wow.
Yeah, okay. So
you gave me a stumper.
I did. But here's the last one. Here's you get this one right, you still win. Last question. Just a year later after that, in 2008, an enterprising reporter made a shocking discovery. What was it? A, the cheetah wasn't a chimpanzee at all, but a gorilla with mange. B, that Cheetah and Tarzan hated each other and constantly fought during the filming for the affections of Jane. Or C, that the cheetah living in Palm Springs was really only about 40 years old, had never been in a Tarzan movie, and was generally a complete fraud.
Oh, my gosh.
I have to go with C.
Yes, so you're going to go for C, the cheetah is in fact a fraud. You're right.
Oh,
that's true. Although Cheetah has been living in Palm Springs, celebrated, had a big birthday party as Guinness Book of World Records, none of that is true. It turns out he's really was born in the 1960s and has never been in a movie in his chimpanzee life.
Oh, monkeys really, are notorious liars.
It's true. Carl, how did Jason Bateman do in our quiz?
Jason had two correct answers, Peter. That's good enough to win for Lenny Sapochnikov.
Well done. Whoa. Jason Bateman's new movie, The Change-Up, opens this weekend. Jason Bateman, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me, guys.
All right.
Thanks, Jason.
Bye,
Jason.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
I made monkey's uncle a cousin to a chimpanzee. The call of the wild is just my style. I swing from tree to tree.
In just a minute, Carl gets his rent in on time in the Listener Limerick Challenge. Call 1-888-WAIT-WAIT to join us on the air. Support for NPR comes from NPR stations and Angie's List, providing consumer reviews on local professionals, from physicians and veterinarians to plumbers and roofers. Details at angieslist.com. Discovery Channel, presenting Curiosity, a new series that begins with asking, did God create the universe? Tomorrow at 8 on Discovery. And Lumber Liquidators, providing hardwood flooring for the home handyman and professionals. Catalogs are available at 1-800-HARDWOOD. We'll be back in a minute with more of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me from NPR.
School discipline has long run the gamut from detention all the way to suspension and sometimes even expulsion. It's not clear, though, that all those trips to the principal's office really work. And some worry the old techniques are simply creating a school-to-prison pipeline. I'm Tony Cox. Join Neil Conan for Rethinking School Discipline. Next, Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
Weekday afternoons from 1 until 3.
Hey, it's Julie Black, and I'm in for your man, Gian Gomeshi. Sapphire is the woman behind the book Push, which became the Oscar-winning film Precious. She'll be on the show to talk about her new novel, The Kid, coming up on Cue the Summer from PRI, Public Radio International.
weeknights at 10 o'clock.
Support for Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me on WPLN comes from WPLN listener members and from Cumberland University, providing working registered nurses with a new RN and BSN degree program that's 100% online. Information at cumberland.edu/online. Coming up at about 20 minutes at 12 noon is the Splendid Table. Right now the time is 11:40. It's 81 degrees in Nashville.
From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Carl Castle. We're playing this week with Amy Dickinson, Mo Rocca, and Charlie Pierce. And here again is your host at the Chase Bank Auditorium in downtown Chicago, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Carl. Thank you so much. In just a minute, it was touch and go there for a while, but Carl has successfully raised the rhyme ceiling. That means we won't default on our limericks. If you'd like to play, even after hearing that, give us a call at 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. Right now, panel, some more questions for you from the week's news. Mo, we all know it's tough to lose weight, but thanks to researchers at Clemson University, there's a new device that may finally help. What is it?
Oh, gosh. Is it, like, piranhas? Or, like, no, I'm trying to... something that gets...
They're carnivorous fish diet.
Yeah.
Put these in your bathtub, you'll be thinner in no time.
Okay, so something that makes you lose weight very easily.
Well, it helps people lose weight.
A tapeworm.
It's a device.
It's a device.
Not a tapeworm,
it's a device.
It's a pedometer, sort of like a pedometer, but it's for the part of your body that people...
Your jaw!
Almost. It is, in fact, a bite counter.
Oh, wow.
It doesn't actually affix to your face. You wear it like a watch, you see, and a sensor inside tracks how many times your hand makes the trip from your mouth to the plate or to the bag of potato chips or to the garbage can to get that last tater tot your wife foolishly didn't eat.
But I'm like, wait a minute, I'm a huge masticator. So, I mean, is it the number of times you chew? Is that
No. It's nothing to do with how much you chew. It's just how many times you reach for food. Because it
so counts. So if you wanted to, like, beat it, you would just eat like a dog, right?
Right. Oh, yeah. There's always the food bag option. Just tie it on.
I don't use my hands when I bob for apples.
That's true.
Yes, okay. I went bobbing for lasagna with my wife the other day.
Charlie, according to the Wall Street Journal, restaurants are beginning to cater to a whole new population of food snobs. Who?
Candy snobs.
No, it's a segment of the population that haven't been treated as real foodies before, but now...
Babies.
Yes, babies, yeah. In fact. The Seesaw Cafe in San Francisco, for example, offers a Danish and Korean-inspired kids' menu, and seriously, a baby chino.
A baby
chino? It's a cappuccino
chino?
Without
no.
The coffee. It's not made of baby. It's...
I want more foam on my baby.
Yeah. Oh, my.
And forget Gerber's. Gust Organics restaurant in New York offers a tenderloin beef puree with zucchini, carrot, and bay leaf.
The baby send it back, or do you just have to throw it across the room?
Exactly. When the baby takes the bowl and puts it on its own head, you know. This is for a customer whose idea of finding sustainable, locally sourced things to eat usually means picking their nose, you know.
It's organic.
Yeah.
Charlie, the debt crisis really highlighted how strapped for cash the U.S. truly is. In fact, as of Tuesday, the U.S. had less cash on hand than what other global power?
Wayne Newton.
No.
We're talking about another country.
Mm. Yeah. Well,
no.
I said global power.
Global power. The National Football League.
No. I'll give you a hint. Their president's badge of office is a black mock turtleneck.
I'll give you a hint.
What, uncle?
No.
Oh.
Can I give him a clue? Give him a clue?
You may.
What, the mafia?
No.
He's coughing
no,
up
no,
a
no.
hairball.
No. Think. How does that...
Will you two just spit and get it over with?
Mine is like coughing up a hairball.
No, Charlie, think different.
I don't know.
Mo.
Apple.
Yes, it's apple.
Charlie, I made the sound of an apple being eaten.
You made the sound of an apple being eaten by a goat. Anyway, go on.
Anyway, the U.S. Treasury has an operating cash balance of just under $74 billion, while Apple... is sitting on more than $76 billion. There are differences between the two superpowers. Apple, of course, makes the iPhone, the iPad, while the United States makes very bad decisions about its own future. People are worried that Apple might use its financial advantage to work against the United States. They might be right. Apple has shown some hostility before. For example, they've already undermined our ability to talk to each other on the phone.
Oh. I lost my iPhone today.
Did you really?
No, I had to replace it. And I really, I was so distressed. Actually, I would have traded in my citizenship to get it back.
Really?
Most. And it's terrible to say that, but it's just, I'm embarrassed by how distressed I was. It was as if I was missing a family member.
Mo.
Yes?
Police in Sweden caught a man in his kitchen doing what he said was just a hobby. What?
It involves Lingonberry's meatballs, Anita Ekberg, Ingmar Bergman. I'm just thinking of famous Swedes. You have to give me a clue.
Well, in his spice rack in his kitchen, he had oregano, paprika, and plutonium.
He says he was just cooking, but he was actually trying to build a nuclear bomb.
Close. I'll give it to you. He was trying to build a nuclear reactor.
Okay. All right.
Richard Handel liked to kick back after a long day by trying to split an atom in his kitchen. You have to hold the knife near the blade and use a rocking motion. Apparently, we don't know why he wanted to build a nuclear reactor. Maybe he got frustrated with how the microwave always left a few popcorn kernels unpopped and decided to really get serious about it. Handel was good enough at his hobby, he caused a mini meltdown in his oven, and he eventually wrote to the Sweden's radiation authority for help. Can you imagine that letter?
No.
Dear Radiation Authority, I never thought this would happen to me. I have a small nuclear reactor in my stove. Is that okay?
Mm. You have
smiley
to,
face.
You need a really thick oven mitt if you're handling a fuel rod.
Oh, absolutely. Nobody knows why he did this. Maybe he heard about fusion cuisine and decided to give it a try.
Probably the Kim Jong-il cookbook.
Yes. And yes, nerds, we know it's fission. Leave me alone. Coming up, it's Lightning Fill in the Blank, but first it's the game where you have to listen for the rhyme. If you'd like to play on air, call or leave a message at 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. Or click the Contact Us link on our website, waitwait.npr.org. There you can find out about attending our weekly live shows here at the Chase Bank Auditorium in Chicago. And check out the new How to Do Everything podcast from the producers of Wait Wait. This week, a fun way to get quarterback Donovan McNabb to promote your band. Hi, you're on Wait Wait, Don't Tell Me. Who's this?
This is Ashley from Lake Mary, Florida.
Hey, Ashley, how are you?
I'm fabulous. Thanks for asking.
Well, what do you do there in Lake Mary, Florida?
Now I am a high school teacher.
You are?
I am.
And what subject do you teach?
I teach American history.
Can I hear you say something tragic about America? Like, tell me, for example, about the Battle of Shiloh.
Are you making fun of my voice? Is that what we're getting at?
Ashley, you sound so cheerful.
Well, thanks.
Ashley, welcome to the show.
All right.
Carl Castle is going to read you three news-related limericks with the last word or phrase missing from each. If you can fill in that last word or phrase correctly and two of the limericks, you will be a winner. Ready to play?
I'm so ready.
Here you go. Here's your first limerick.
Secret Service could sleep in a tent, but Biden's a Delaware gent. His yard has a hut. They'll sleep in there, but... the VP is charging some...
rent.
Yes! A beautiful cottage close to public transportation, not far from D.C. Sounds perfect. What's the catch? Oh, dear God, my landlord is Joe Biden. According to the New York Times, the vice president rents a cottage on his Delaware property to his Secret Service detail. It's an odd arrangement, but it's handy, because the Secret Service guys can always keep the vice president in sight and pretend not to be home when he wanders over to talk about his first apartment in Scranton. All right, here is your next limerick.
Polar bears sit back and fry fish, and like leprechauns, they will grant my wish. They like to pick fights and make music all night. That's 'cause the bear's background is...
Swedish? I don't know.
Well, you're close.
It's a nationality.
Yeah, yeah, I got that much. Thanks.
Actually, I'm not getting it.
I don't have it either.
It's a nationality that rhymes with my fish.
The word leprechaun came into it, I see.
Oh, Irish!
Irish, yes, Irish.
All right.
Recent DNA samples show polar bears are descended from a single mother brown bear that lived in Ireland some 20 to 50,000 years ago. Scientists say this extraordinary discovery helps explain so much about the great white bears of the north, for example, their love of Guinness, and why they hesitate just for a moment before mauling a leprechaun. All right, here's your last limerick. Let's hear this one.
As I get in line for my jet, I'm identified as a big threat. The stain in my pits has the monitors lit. The scanner has noticed my...
Ooh.
Ay.
Let's hear the whole thing again.
As I get in line for my jet, I'm identified as a big threat. The stain in my pits has the monitors lit. The scanner has noticed my...
Sweat.
Yes, indeed. Woo! Very good. Yes. Australia is trying out some new full-body scanners in their airports, and apparently sweaty armpits trigger their alarm. They're calling it a malfunction, but couldn't a particularly stinky passenger take over a plane? This is a hijacking. Everybody put your hands over your head, or I will put my hands above my head. Carl, how did Ashley do in our quiz?
Ashley did all right, Peter. She had 3 correct answers, so Ashley, you win our prize.
Well done. Congratulations, Ashley. Thank you so much for playing.
Thanks, y'all. Take care.
Now on to our final game, Lightning Fill in the Blank. Each of our players now has 60 seconds in which to answer as many fill-in-the-blank questions as he or she can. Each correct answer now worth 2 points. Carl, can you give us the scores?
We have a tie for first place, Peter. Amy Dickinson and Mo Rocca each has 3 points. Charlie Pierce has 2.
All right, Charlie, you're in third place. You're up first. The clock will start when I begin your first question, fill-in-the-blank. So she could cast her vote and the debt ceiling blank made a dramatic return to the House floor.
Gabrielle Giffords.
Right. On Thursday, concerns about the economy caused the blank to plunge to the lowest levels of the year.
The Dow stock market.
Right. Reports of an armed man on campus caused the campus of blank to go into lockdown.
Virginia
Thursday.
Tech.
Yes. Perhaps setting the stage for a presidential run. This week, Russian Prime Minister Vladimir Putin blanked in front of reporters.
I'm going to go way the other way from what they expect and say prayed.
No, he bent a metal frying pan with his bare hands. In an operation known as Extra Sugar, police in New Jersey arrested a blank employee for prostitution.
Dunkin' Donuts.
Yes, although he had said he would make an appearance, blank will not participate in this year's muscular dystrophy telethon.
Jerry Lewis.
Right to aid pedestrians and cyclists, the mayor of Vilnius, Lithuania, has begun blanking cars that park in the bike lane.
Running them over with a tank.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah!
Mayor Arturas Zuokas was sick of people parking in the bike lane, so he decided to send a message and instead of email or text, he used a tank and crushed a Mercedes. Carl, how did Charlie do in our quiz?
Charlie had 6 correct answers, Peter, for 12 more points. He now has 14 points, and Charlie has taken the lead.
Well done.
Whoa!
We have flipped a coin. Amy has elected to go next fill-in-the-blank Amy. Senator Harry Reid announced Thursday that Congress had reached a deal that would end the shutdown at the blank.
FAA.
Right. The protester who threw a pie at blank was sentenced to 6 weeks in jail.
Murdoch.
Right. As his trial began this week, former Egyptian leader blank pled not guilty.
Hosni Mubarak.
Right. NASA announced that an orbiter had found evidence that seasonal salt water flows on blank.
On Mars.
Right. Because they say he's frightening the neighborhood residents, Idaho police have asked a man to stop blanking.
Wait, frightening residents, Santa Claus.
Wearing a bunny suit.
Oh, I was so close!
Facebook revealed a new application that allows women to announce when they are blank.
Menstruating?
No!
Sorry, it's a dream!
Pregnant. Deadline.com reported this week that the new season of Two and a Half Men will open with a funeral for Blank's character.
Charlie Sheen.
Right, after months of delicate work, staffers at a London aquarium have successfully helped a giant fish diagnosed as a blank.
A non-fish?
No, as a chocoholic. For years,
come on.
Oh, yes, for years, Gary, the 9-pound gourami fish, lived on nothing but Kit Kats. And when he showed up at the Sea Life London Aquarium, it was either put him on a diet or get a bigger fish bowl. The solution, and this is true, they gave him grapes stuffed with Kit Kats. Carl, how did Amy do in our quiz?
Amy had 5 correct answers for 10 more points. She now has 13 points, but Charlie maintains the lead with 14.
Ooh. How many, then, does Mo need to win?
6 correct answers.
All right, here we go. Fill in the blank, Mo. This is for the game. Preliminary data indicates that in July, all 50 states had records broken by the blank wave.
Heat.
Yes. Moody's announced that the United States would keep its AAA blank for now.
Rating.
Credit rating. Because it may be contaminated with salmonella, the USDA announced the recall of 36 million pounds of blank.
Peanuts.
Ground turkey. Japan announced plans to fire 3 senior nuclear officials because of the ongoing crisis at the plant in blank.
At Fukushima.
Right, fulfilling a need no one had. A company in Florida will now provide blanks for social gatherings.
Gosh. A need that no one in Florida has. They're providing for the company for parties. Is it for parties?
It's for, they're providing, yes, it is.
For parties.
You have to guess now.
Yeah. Cheap cologne?
Naked butlers.
Okay. Oh.
New Jersey Democrat Louis Magatsu resigned from office after blanks of him were posted online.
Naked pictures.
Yes. A passenger on a Ryanair flight had a heart attack on board, and the crew responded by giving him blank.
Oh, that's the Irish airline.
Yes. So,
Guinness.
No, they gave him a sandwich.
Okay. Oh, God! Satan sandwich.
When the 63-year-old man lost consciousness, his wife called for help, and flight attendants responded with a sandwich and soft drink. The man did recover, the only lingering effect being the loss of the $15 the airline insisted he pay for the sandwich and Coke. Carl, did Mo do well enough to win?
He needed 6 correct answers. Mo had 4
answers
for a total of 11 points. So it was 14 points. Charlie Pierce.
How does that happen?
I don't know. But it's exciting that it did. In just a minute, we're going to ask our panelists, now that we're close to solving the case of D.B. Cooper, what will be the next big mystery to be solved? But first, let me tell you that support for NPR comes from NPR stations and Discovery Channel, presenting Curiosity, a new series that begins with asking, did God create the universe? Tomorrow at 8 on Discovery. The National Association of Realtors, providing resources for homeownership at houselogic.com, and Progressive Insurance with Snapshot, a program in which rates are determined by the driving habits of policyholders. Learn more at progressive.com. Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me is a production of NPR and WBEZ Chicago, in association with Urgent Haircut Productions, Doug Berman, executive producer. Philip Gotica writes our limericks. Our house manager is Don Hall. Our intern is Amy Solomon. Our web guru is Beth Novi. Engineers include Les Dolarchik and Muhammad Mao. Thanks to John Zajac at Chase Bank. BJ Liederman composed our theme. Our program is produced by Ian Chillog, Eva Walchover, and Emily Ecton. Technical direction is from Robert Newhouse and Lorna White. The senior producer of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me is Michael Danforth. Now, panel, what will be the next big mystery to be solved? Charlie Pierce.
DNA tests prove that a certain Walter Wickman of L.A. not only wrote the Book of Love, but did indeed put the bomb in the bomb to bomb.
Amy Dickinson.
Well, somebody's going to figure out where the president's positive poll numbers are hiding.
And Mo Rocca.
Amelia Earhart will emerge. She's running a woman's bookstore in Portland.
Well, if any of those mysteries are solved, panel, we'll ask you about it on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell
Thank
Me.
Thank you, Girl Castle. Thanks also to Charlie Pierce, Amy Dickinson, Mo Rocca. Thanks all of you for listening. I am Peter Sagal. We will see you next week. Is NPR.
And this is 90.3 WPLN Nashville Public Radio, 91.5 WTML Tullahoma, and 91.7 WHRS Coateville. You can find a complete schedule for all of our programs and listen to a live stream of any of our program channels at WPLN.org.
I'm Krista Tippett. Next time on Being, philosopher Anthony Appiah. His parents' marriage helped inspire the movie Guess Who's Coming to Dinner. He studied ethics in a world of strangers. And we explore his down-to-earth take on moral hostilities in America now. This is part of the Civil Conversations Project, ideas and tools for our fractured civic spaces. That's from APM.
Sunday afternoons at 3 o'clock.
Nashville weather for this afternoon, a 40% chance of showers and thunderstorms, mostly cloudy skies, and the high in the upper 80s. Right now, it's 82 degrees in Nashville. The time is 12 noon.